everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Mobilecast, episode number 216. We're coming to you live from AirWatch Connect in downtown Atlanta, and I am lucky enough to be sitting with two very good friends of mine, Chris Parrott and Jeff Enderwick, formerly of Nucona, if you know them from a few years ago, and they now have a startup called Nacho Cove, which came out of stealth, although the app's been in the App Store for a few months. They haven't really told anybody till, I guess, last week.
Yeah.
So it's live. And welcome, guys. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Ryan, it's great to see you again. I'm Chris Parrott, the co-founder, CEO, chief garbage collector over at Nacho Cove. If any of you have done startups, you know what that means. It's you do anything and everything to just keep things going.
Jeff Enderwick, and I'm the dork.
You're more than that. What's your actual title, Jeff?
CTO.
Okay, so you're the CTO, you're the CEO and chief garbage collector, and, you know, we're at the AirWatch conference, you know, VMware by AirWatch, and you guys originally started up Nucona, which was one of the original, if not the original MAM company, mobile right. application management, and you sold to Symantec.
We did.
And stayed for a while, then you left. And now you have Nacho Cove. Where did you know how you get from EMM to, well, first let's say what Nacho Cove is, and then let's explain how we get from EMM to what you do now.
I'll
Yeah, go.
So Nacho Cove is born out of frustration, actually. When I've gone in and out of large companies and had large roles, I spent most of my time trying to figure out what to do from email. I was getting 600 or more emails a day, and I was spending hours, starting at 5 in the morning, just sorting and creating my to-do list. Finally, with the advent of Nacho Cove, we said, we have to solve this problem. And we have to solve this problem because this problem is not, this is not sustainable. So why can't we make smart email? And that's what we built. We built an email client that saves me hours a day, for me personally. But for most people, maybe a couple hours a week, not having to sort and review every single email.
Okay, so Nacho Cove's an email client, but how do you get from mobile application management to an email client?
That's what happens is you end up in a big company. You're using the big company tools, and all of a sudden the email volume. When you're a startup, things are relatively simple and efficient. You go to a big company, they've got a big sales organization, you've got a lot of email, you got to figure out what's important. And you want to dedicate 2-3 hours a day to triaging email. So that, like he said, is born out of the frustration. We got put in that position, and we said, there's got to be a better way.
But I'll follow up on that. I mean, the vision behind Nucona when we started at mobile app management was not that we were going to secure mobile devices. It was that mobility would make our lives as employees better, that we'd be more productive, that we could get more done. We have these incredible computers that we carry around in our pockets. And the creation of Nacho Cove is a natural extension of the vision that we started out with Nucona, which was mobilizing apps to make all of us, all of our lives, more productive. And that's what we focused on.
Okay, so you've decided that you need to fix this problem.
Yeah.
And
it's a big problem, by the way.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And although for years we've heard that email's going to go away, I still seem to get more every year.
Well, as long as your customers keep with email, you're going to have an email problem because you got to listen to your customer.
And if you have workflows, you know, expense report approvals or other process or HR reports, none of that is going away because email is overloaded. It's not just about communicating a fact or asking for information. It's the repository of all of our corporate knowledge.
So let's dig into how you built this email client because, to be fair, you knew nothing about email other than you were users of it when you started.
That's true.
That is true. And so we started out, when we began this approach, it wasn't about just building an email client. It was building a communication tool or platform that could scale across large enterprise. That means tens, if not hundreds of thousands of users. And our focus was on building something that end users would love, but that was architected out of the gate to be deployable and meet risk management concerns and all of the other concerns that large enterprise has.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but right there we hear something a little bit different. You know, I've talked to a lot of startups and other people on the Mobilecast, and it's very rare that they start from the enterprise focus. You know, mobility has always been about, at least till recently, let's start with the consumer and work from the consumer to, you know, okay, now where do I make the money versus you guys are coming from the enterprise.
Let me throw you one fact, and that is I think it's around 500 million people are using Exchange. Most of them don't have cloud-enabled Exchange. That's a lot of people. They've all got these problems that we felt from a frustration standpoint.
And it's... We want end users or consumers to love our app. It's about being loved by consumers because employees are consumers too. However, if we can save 10% of an employee's time per week, the payback, a return on investment for an enterprise is enormous. Quite frankly, if I get 600 email messages in my personal email, I don't care. There's nothing that's going to cost my company money if I don't see it and respond to it.
So you built Nacho Cove.
We did.
And you've been around for, it's 2 years now?
Oh, boy. We have been in we've been hiding down in the basement writing code for almost 2.5 years now.
Something like that.
So it was a huge problem. And honestly, you know, in hindsight, we said to ourselves, geez, what were we thinking? Maybe we should have taken a smaller problem on. Because... when we're talking about deploying at scale, you know, a POC is going to be thousands of users. The large deployments are tens of thousands of users. And everybody has a slightly different configuration, whether it's ActiveSync or Amazon for Workmail. You know, Amazon Workmail is coming out with its own. It's a great service. We've got Google Apps for Business. And then everyone else who's on Gmail. And it has to work seamlessly for all of them.
And do you also, so you support multiple accounts?
We do. We support multiple accounts with the controls being placed on the work mail. So on whatever your working or enterprise account is, we do not want to have a situation, and we don't want employees to have a situation in which they leave and their email app is wiped. We don't want the app to be wiped. We just want the corporate data to be removed and secured.
Every account has a segregated data. Is it stored on the disk in there? And so when you can wipe one account, and the other 11 can still be fine.
So what makes it intelligent? What makes this smart email? How do you actually figure, you know, how do you actually move from 600 emails to the 25 that you need to read? And hopefully
typically,
it's only 25.
Well, typically it's going to be closer to 30% of most. What users report is that no matter whether they're getting 100 emails a day or they're getting 600, on average 30% of the messages they receive must be seen and responded to today. Now, going to your point, which was how did we do that? Well,
and I get that that's the secret sauce.
I was going to go there.
Yeah. We're not going to get into too much, but what we had to do to meet risk compliance needs and to really be deployable for a large enterprise is we had to ensure that we did it on the device or in the app itself. We're not sucking emails up out into a cloud server where almost every large organization's risk management organization will have concerns. We've got an architecture where we are learning from the user's behavior, what they care about, who they respond to, what topics interest them, what time of day they want to look at certain types of messages, and ensuring that that knowledge is then applied to each to their individual accounts.
And if you have 2007 or whatever you've got for your Exchange infrastructure that's maybe a little bit old, you can give your employees a first-class email experience. What they're really clamoring for after experiencing all these great apps on their personal life, they can now have that with their work email, and you haven't changed anything on your infrastructure side, and your risk management people are going to be happy with the way it's being done.
However, it turned out to be really hard to do.
Yes.
It was, and that's, you know, again, we kick ourselves when we say, you know, we've got our team together and we're having a great time going after this problem. But it's a really big problem. There's a reason it hasn't been solved for the last 35 or 40 years.
Just getting a mail client right, they're in a calendar app right, there's so many details in how different servers behave with everything around meeting invite. It's just... It's a mess down there.
To be fair, you guys first showed me this a long time ago.
Yes.
And it was crap.
And
it was crap.
Yeah, you had your growing pains. You know, there was a lot of work there. And I've suffered through some of the alphas and betas that you were kind enough to throw at me and, you know,
Thank you for that.
I don't mind finding bugs, although every now and then there was a frustrated phone call to you guys. But you actually, you know...
But to be fair, you asked to experience the pain.
I do like to, you know, experience the pain a little bit because, you know, then I get to influence a little bit. But when you look at your app and you open it up, you have your inbox, but you have what you call, what you label hot. And, you know, we'll get into where you came up with the name later, but, you know...
Chili peppers.
Yeah, you know, chili peppers. So they actually have a chili pepper that is next to each email that's labeled hot, and you can label it yourself. It does learn. But talk a little bit about that process and how it works.
So what's hot is very interesting. So we have two classifications of hot. Hot, there's messages that you have to see today and respond to today. And that's a set of what we would call the hot list. And then there's your likely to read list. And your likely to read list are the things that, based on your past behavior, you're going to want to read. In some people's case, it might be their Twitter feed. And then that's not a hot message, but they're going to read it. And in some people's case, it's going to be the messages on a given collection of notes, perhaps a note, a collection from some mail list that you read. Now, that's not hot, but you don't want it shuffled away, and you don't want to have to search for it. So we'll put that into a curated list of your likely to read list. We learn that from your behavior. When we're not making it up. This is what you do. You're teaching the brain that's in the client how you behave. And the client is then learning from it.
There's a lot of secret sauce, as you said in there. And some
salsa.
Some of it involves Greek letters and math, and some of it's just pure hacks that are common sense. But
it's a good thing we have some really smart friends that know that stuff.
The whole philosophy is hire people smarter than us to do the work. So
it's not that hard. I've known you guys long enough. It's not that hard.
But it's working out, and that continues to evolve. That's, you know, something that gets better over time. But if we can get people to ignore some of their email, then we put time right back in their day. And then, as you said, you know, look at payroll. Look at how much gets spent in F500 payroll. If you can shave off percentage points on that, you're really moving the needle from a dollar standpoint.
But all of us have experienced this over time. I mean, no matter whether you've been in the workforce for 10 years or I hesitate to say how many decades I've been in the workforce.
There's a little gray hair there.
But
I may have more than
at least
you
still have
gray hair.
but all of us know that the volume of email and its purpose has changed over our individual work careers. Right now, email is the source of all corporate knowledge. When I get an email, even if I don't save it, I don't want it removed because, or I don't read it because I might need to refer to it later. We have emails that are sent out as a corporate record of an event taking place. A sales quote is a perfect example. The email of the sales quote is a binding business commitment. It's no longer on paper, it's in email, and we can't lose those things. We have to be able to refine them.
I actually know lawyers whose job it is. They're finance companies, but they actually get the filters that send emails to them, and they have to scan them all the time just for compliance purposes.
No, look, I was an exchange architect at Merrill Lynch many moons ago.
So you know.
So I've had to do the compliance thing. I've had to do lots of things that were interesting and probably not good for public consumption.
But to Chris's point, this is the information corpus for the enterprise.
So you get email, and how do you handle the different ways people process email? Because that's got to be part of, you know, when you're creating this, you know, how we surface stuff, I'm one of those people who keeps everything in my inbox. Now, I read it, but my inbox may have 10,000 messages in it.
And in fact, you're not abnormal anymore. There was a time when that was abnormal behavior because people were filers.
I've worked with, you know, I've had people that work for me and work for people who they have 100 folders. And everything gets moved to its appropriate folder. They do that. How do you handle the different piece, and how do you surface it, especially if they put rules in place and the like?
So that was the reason we wanted to have a smart learning engine. Because rather than creating a bunch of default personas or templates or rules that turn out not to apply to most people, everybody treats email different. It's personal. It's personal.
This is personal preference, yes.
But this is your source of almost all of your to-do lists, all of the actions, and your own personal repository of knowledge. And you have a particular way of doing it. It's like, it's your work desk. It is your desk
Some people have their tools all organized in folders and files, and some people have piles of
stuff.
Some
people rely heavily on search.
Yeah, yeah. People like Jeff and me, it's like, yeah, when we can find the bottom of our desk, it's a good day.
Wrong, yeah.
So
our wives came in.
So the purpose of having an engine baked into or a brain in every single app so that it learns from the individual user and the rules are put in place by the individual user. We're not making those rules. We're not setting them up, and we're not actually limiting where the learning engine can go. The brain is going to get smarter over time. Today, it's pretty good. A year from now, it's going to be really good.
Yes.
10 years from now, there's no possible way that any corporate enterprise employee will not have a smart email assistant helping them manage and sort their information.
Yes. This is a journey, not a...
Well, sure. Yeah. It's not a single step. You got a ways to go. But you've included calendar and contacts.
Yes.
How does the intelligent agent work with those?
Well, I mean, contacts. So, again, it's pretty interesting to think about how we navigate through our life. I'm a typical, unfortunately, sales-ish person. I have thousands of contacts. But on a weekly, daily, monthly basis, I'm typically communicating with between 10 to 30 folks. And those people change over time based on the projects I'm on, what customer relationships we have. By surfacing the ones, by basically learning my behavior, who I'm authoring messages to, who I'm replying to,
what teams I'm... How fast does he respond to person A versus person B?
He doesn't respond. That's a whole...
He does.
Depends on which list you're in.
Okay, that explains a lot, Chris.
So,
technically, you just call me. You don't respond in email. The phone gets picked up.
You just think it's to respond with POs to you.
So the point on it is that the learning engine learns that. Now, there are some people in your life that are always priority, and you'll mark those, right? I mean, we can use the typical VIP notification, but there are people in your life that even if you haven't communicated with them for a year, if they send you a message, you want to see it right away. And those people are really your inner circle. And we'll learn who that is, or you can even put input in. Another perfect example of the type of messages you never want to miss are customer messages. If a customer sends you an email, you should never miss it. You shouldn't have to search for it. It should be put in place. You can put in your own rules to say, this is my customer list, hook up to a CRM information, and go, that's not unique. But the way it's surfaced amongst the subset of the 30%-ish of messages you have to respond to, the way we're doing it, we think, works for folks.
So trying to solve the email problem isn't new. We've had Acompli on the show before, before they were bought by Microsoft and became the Outlook client.
Yeah.
What makes you different from them, all the other different clients out there from, Tipbit to Boxer to native email to Touchdown to, there are all these different pieces out there. What makes you unique? Is it just the agent?
Now, there's a couple of things to think about here. First of all, the guys at Acompli, awesome guys, right? What they did was recognize that productivity really mattered, and they made a mobile app that was truly productive. And,
beautiful.
Now it's out. Like, it's a beautiful app. Where we differ from them is, first of all, our brain is different. We're not, our information isn't on a server where it's being done. We've actually put that in place on the device. So for some companies in which risk management or compliance matters, we're fundamentally different, and that architecture element is different. Other things that we've done that are, well, our background in mobile security influences everything we're doing, because we've deployed the secure solutions and been, understand the risk management and compliance elements. So whether we're talking about the folks that, any of the apps that you named, all of them are very nice apps, and they work well for most consumers and even many employees. But when you think about how it's going to be deployed, whether it's going to meet risk management elements, we have a bunch of stuff that, as you've got some insight into, that's sitting there teed up in the labs. Email isn't the end for us.
No.
Email is the beginning, because it's really about communication. Whether you're, the problem that all of us have in managing the volume of email is not really about managing the volume of email. It's managing the volume of information that is coming at you, whether it's coming at you in a different silo, you know, one of the various Skype chat or other IRC silos, if it's coming at you from a mail list that you have to see, if it's coming at you from some internal sales tool, if you have to monitor all of those things, you need a tool like ours to get that to surface the most important things so you don't miss them.
But Jeff doesn't want to say anything at that one. So
no, I'd say, you know, we've got large ambitions. Chris alluded to it. We really want to conquer communications and also unlock the value of the information that's in that grand corpus. Like, if I went to a big company and said, who knows someone at, you know, I don't know, Air Gas Supply, who's dealing with that account, you have no way of really finding out except for the phone tree. It's all there in the email. We have ways to unlock it. We've got a lot of grand ambitions and technology. Like you said, it's in the labs. Right now, the key is let's put time back in people's day using a great email client that works with whatever infrastructure is out there already. And once we're doing that on a broad scale, we'll have the steam to go do the ambitious things too.
And it's this problem has been very hard to solve.
So the problem's hard to solve. You're hinting at some things, and you have to be careful. Yeah, I am on. You know, they've asked me not to bring up some things, but if they broach it, you know,
game's on, right?
Yeah, game's on. So, Jeff, you're talking about the fact that the information's in there, and you know, one of the things is how do you unlock that information? But that kind of gets a little dicey if you're in an enterprise, and you know, you're talking about that. So, talk a little bit more about the problem. It's up to you whether you want to talk about the solution.
We're not going to talk about the solution right now.
Okay.
But the problem remains that whether you look at Osterman Research's numbers and where they, I think they believe it's 85% of all corporate IP is in the communication streams. Some people have estimated it as high as 95%. But at the end of the day, your corporate knowledge, the knowledge that your company depends on. Every one of our companies, whether we build bricks or we build skyscrapers or we build software, are information management companies. It's about information. That information is embedded in our communication streams and it's locked up.
So it's fair to say your ultimate goal is to help unlock that information for companies?
For individuals and for companies. Our goal is to ensure that the communications that take place in a company are they are the most efficient communication model possible, and that the individuals do not have to act like their own basically assistants sorting and prioritizing everything.
Information. I mean, email is information, right? And so there's information you're sending from point A to point B. There's also information that you have that maybe someone else in your company could use.
And there's information that you want to be able to find for future reference.
So how much of this is born out of the fact that, you know, when you were in Nucona, you were in San Diego.
Yeah.
You were both there. I seen you there.
With flip-flops on, too.
Yeah, with flip-flops, with, you know, Chris with two surfboards on his truck coming by, which is fun to park at, you know, a real fancy hotel. And they sort of look at him like, who are you? But, you know, a little less startup culture there from a certain extent. That now, you're still in San Diego.
Yeah.
You're in Oregon. How much of that is, how do you deal with that, you know, conversation and talking? And I mean, I'm sure you have other channels.
We were in the same location, the two of us, when maybe one or two other people in San Diego. We had a team all over the place in Nucona, and so we know how to run distributed development as well as anyone out there. So for us, like, I could go to Hawaii next week, but my wife won't let me.
Your wife's not going with you. That's not happening.
Stuff's not, you know, it's all going to get done the same. So we work very well in a distributed manner.
So I guess the sort of where you're going, we're eating our own dog food as it relates to communications. Right? We're living on our products, and our products have to work for us. Things have to be surfaced. But, you know, in a small startup environment, I don't have 10,000 fellow employees whose communications might need to be surfaced. You know, I have quite a bit less than 10,000 employees. Where we are, where we're going is we are building a tool that we wish we had every time we've gone in and out of large companies. This is the tool that will make my life easier, make every salesperson, every marketing person, every individual who is spending time sorting and prioritizing to ensure they get they respond to the important things. This is the tool that's going to help them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we should start wrapping up here, but what surprising things did you find? I mean, you said if you'd thought about that, if you knew what you knew then or now then, you might have tackled a different problem. What things have surprised you that, you've had to figure out or you've worked around? Or
with the number of ways ActiveSync is deployed, it's probably one of them.
I think there's a lot of different servers. Everyone rolls their own ActiveSync in different scenarios. They behave differently. There's just a lot there. And then we've architected for multi-platform from the very beginning, and there is a lot of lessons learned there. We've kind of bitten off a lot of infrastructure stuff up front, and so we really shot for the long term, not let's get something up in six weeks and see if it sticks or not. We know it's enough of a clear problem.
Six weeks, 2.5 years.
at Nucona, we had something live in 6 weeks, and people got on it. So,
but the expectation,
this problem's not going to go away. There's no confusion about the value of the problem, and there's nothing out there that's solving it yet. So,
and whether we solve it, right, or whether our solution is the one that sticks and is widely deployed, or somebody else's. This is the future of communications. It's going to be something in which an active learning client is learning from the user and helping to prioritize communication, because the volume is unmanageable and the volume is ever increasing.
So you came out of stealth. It's in the App Store. I saw your tagline yesterday. The show start. The pre-show was yesterday. Came by your booth. One of your things is you're all 5-star ratings. So
we have been
at least till another. I haven't checked it recently.
Don't do it.
Don't look now.
Okay. No. Don't give us a bad review, please.
But
don't thank us, Brian.
I'm on the alpha. I can't give you a review anyway.
So our what we're expecting. We really built this for end user love, and this. So although our target value is to employees and to their employers, employees are consumers too. If consumers don't love this app and it doesn't work for them, then employees might salute and use it, but they're not going to embrace it. We wanted to build something that end users would love, and that's been our focus.
So what's the model you have in the App Store today as far as, are you charging people? How are you,
Well,
where's the revenue stream come from?
So our revenue stream, App Store is free to download to use for the first year. So it's $1.99 a year. So it's for consumers, cheap and easy. But first year's free. Because if you're not using it,
it's sort of the WhatsApp model.
Absolutely, the WhatsApp model. Because it's about we have to be building something that delights users. However, and this is critical, the users are not the product. We have to charge long term, so we have a viable business model. We're not taking user data. We're not selling user data. In fact, we don't even know our users, because we've made sure that we're blind as it relates to the security, aspects. We can't lose what we don't have. However,
which by the way is part of your pedigree.
Absolutely.
As you said earlier, you built the security in there. You went through all this stuff with Nucona, what people wanted to see and what they didn't want to see. So this helped you achieve that.
That's right. But from the whole idea behind the WhatsApp model is that, first things first, users are not the product. We're never selling their data, ever. And so we have to delight them enough that next year they're not going to be able to live without Nacho Mail, and they will gladly pay $1.99. Now, for enterprise versions, where there's other configuration and other constraints put in place, and quite frankly, some other very cool features, there's a different model. But we're supporting, of course, SaaS, but of course, we're supporting for our largest customers. We're supporting on-premises installation.
So you've learned that some enterprises are willing to go SaaS, some aren't ready to make that model, especially when you're talking about information.
Yeah.
Yes, and what's been phenomenal to see is even over the course of the last 5 years, there's a migration to cloud-based infrastructure. So we're seeing migrations to Office 365. We're seeing large, even government agencies embracing Google Apps for Business. We're seeing Amazon Workmail begin to potentially come out and provide services to large companies. But even in that case, it's likely that control of various elements of architecture will have to be installed at a minimum in some sort of controlled by the controlled by the enterprise.
Okay, so as we start to wrap up, let's start with you, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Last comments you want to make?
Just go, please try it. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like, and we want to make it the best client experience you've got. So give us your feedback.
So yes, there is an advantage there. If you download the app now and you get started, they will definitely respond to your feedback quicker because there aren't as many people use it. Again, just out of stealth.
Our religion is really about customer support, so you'll find even when we have a lot more customers, we're pretty quick on that. It's our background.
Chris?
I think probably one of the things I'd like to highlight as well is we've just announced our partnership on the ACE.
We are at AirWatch Connect.
Right. And so we just announced that we are new members of ACE, which is the App Configuration Environment Initiative. And what that means is, quite frankly, any AirWatch customer or company that's deploying that can deploy and configure Nacho Mail right out of the gate. No SDKs, nothing fancy. Those configuration parameters can be deployed so you can configure it, put in whatever policy constraints are required, and go. And we think that's a fantastic initiative, and we're actually very excited about it.
I think it's the right way to do what it does.
And the last question, because we left this out, what platforms is it available on? Because that is actually an interesting part of this story.
So today, it's available on iOS and the App Store. It'll be in Google Play in about 3 weeks. And then we're coming out on macOS and Windows, too.
Yep.
It's information is on every platform that an employee uses. And it's time for an enterprise makeover of email.
So one question on that. Let's say I have my Mac and I have my iPhone.
I thought you were wrapping it up.
Well, you brought me another question. If I have my Mac and I have my phone, can the agents talk to each other so they don't have to learn?
They will share their learning between them in such a way that the clients are able to, your clients, the only device is able to decrypt it. I won't have the key in the sky. And how that's done is proprietary. But the nice part of it is, I can't lose what I don't have, so I don't want to hold your data. I want to keep it off my servers. If it's on my server, I want an encrypted blob.
And one of the aspects as well, and the reason there's individual brains, you behave differently on the desktop. So there's knowledge that you care about, but perhaps if you're reading emails on your desktop, you do things differently than you do when you're on your mobile platform. And the engines can both share the importance and relevance of information, but be aware of how you're going to behave differently.
So very cool. I want to thank you guys for taking the time.
Thank you.
More than welcome. You great guest. This has been a lot of fun. And enjoy the rest of the show. And listeners, thank you again. This has been the MobileCast episode number 216, live from AirWatch Connect in Atlanta. And we'll have some more episodes coming to you soon.